Let's say a silent prayer. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we start our hymn session. Let us sing hymn number 152. Sing hymn 152. Verse 1. Sing the next hymn 121. Sing hymn 121. Let us sing the first verse.
Thank you.
third verse. Sing the last hymn 149. Let us sing the first verse. Session ends here. May all glory be given to God. Hallelujah.
Let's have a solemn prayer. Prepare our hearts for today's service. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our Sabbath service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 416. Thank you. We will now have our prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Sabbath day, we are able to gather together to worship Him. We pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to guide us in our service. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, I would like to share with our brothers and sisters on this topic of Paul command Timothy to Philippi. Timothy is a character that Paul brought up in his letter to Philippi. But Timothy is not from Philippi. He's a person who went together with Paul to Philippi in his pioneering work. First, we read Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. From verses 19 to 24. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. Here it tells us, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So here it talks in this passage of the Bible, it talks about the desire of Paul to send Timothy to the church in Philippi. In verse 19, it tells us, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Paul wanted to send Timothy to Philippi so that he can report of the situation of the church over there. So that Paul is able to know the account of the state of the members over there. At that time of writing, Paul himself is in prison. Usually, a person who is in prison has many concerns. Concerns concerning himself. Concerns concerning his safety. Or what else is he going to suffer in the prison? When will he come out of prison? Or will he ever be able to come out of prison? These are the emotional stress that weigh him down in the prison. But to Paul, he is different. Because he is the servant of God. A servant of God. His heart and concern is with the welfare of the church. And this exceeds his own personal conditions or sufferings. So that's why, even though he is in prison, his heart is with the members in Philippi. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 23. Here Paul talks about the sufferings and the difficulties that he faced with in his ministerial journey. He talked about the times of his imprisonment, the times when he was beaten, the times are when he has to suffer shipwreck. The times are when he has to face danger with his own people, with the Gentiles, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger with the false brothers. But above all these things, in verse 8, he says, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for the churches. Although Paul himself had to suffer many things in his ministerial work. But his chief concern as a shepherd of God is for the churches, the fold of God, that the Holy Spirit have made him overseers. This is the heart of a shepherd of God. If he is able to know of their conditions, of their welfare, then it will cheer him in his heart. His concern is that the church is able to find joy. It does not matter if he himself is bound. But for the members of the church, he wants them to be well taken care of. He wants the church not to be anxious when they hear news of his imprisonment. If he is able to know that this church of God is at peace and is strengthened in their faith, then he will be able to find joy in his heart. This is the heart of a true shepherd. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 tells us, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Here Paul talks about his willingness to suffer for the well-being of the members, to offer himself for their service. Only if he is able to know that he did not run in vain, because the church is strengthened, they are able to hold fast to the faith until the very end. This is what he will rejoice in. The heart of a shepherd is always with the welfare of the flock. And the welfare of the flock is above his own welfare. Once I have this experience, there is a deacon from Taiwan. He is sent to Sabah and West Malaysia to conduct a certain seminar. While he is in Sabah, he vomited blood during the seminar. Of course, we were anxious for him. We discussed about cancelling this program in Malaysia so that he will be able to return to Taiwan. But when we contacted this deacon is determined to complete this work that is entrusted to him. He did not return to Taiwan. From Sabah, he came to Malaysia. And his wife flew in from Taiwan to take care of him during this duration of the seminar. The divine work continued. We are able to learn much from the seminar that was conducted. But we learn even more from this living example of the spirit of a servant of God. A family who is able to set their priorities correct. Just like Paul in Acts chapter 20. From verse 22 onwards, Paul talks about his ministerial journey. The journey that brought him to many places. But often he will be faced with a situation that he will not know what is ahead of him. But this time, when he goes to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit testified to him that he will face imprisonment and afflictions will await him there. But he did not shrink from this journey. Verse 24, He says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is the choice of Paul. His priority is to finish the course and the ministry that he received from. This is more important to him than the dangers, the sufferings that he is going to face in this ministry work. Secondly, we want to talk about this Timothy. Paul feels that Timothy is a suitable candidate to be sent to this place. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "For I have no one like him." There are other people who is with Paul at that moment of time. That's why when he ends his letter in Philippians chapter 4, verse 21, he says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you." That means there are other brothers who are with Paul at that time. But yet, here he says, "I have no one like Timothy to send to you." Among all these people who are with Paul at that time, Paul chose to commend Timothy to them. Not because there is no one else, but there is no one who is worthy as a servant to be sent to the church in Philippines. He chose to send Timothy because he is a good servant of God. He's a man of excellent spirit and a tender heart. Paul felt that he will be able to edify the church over there. This good servant of God. But what makes him a good servant of God? This is what we want to learn, so that we may also be able to imitate him and be a good servant of God. First, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, it tells us, he's a person who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. For there are others who seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But the first criteria for a servant of God is that he must have a genuine concern for the work of God. For the work of God. Some work for their own gain or for their own interest. They prefer to take credit for the work. They choose to be recognized by men. They seek their own ease and is concerned for their own safety. They pursue things of their own pleasure and the interest of the world. These workers are not suitable to be the servants of God because they did not place the interest of God above their own interests. They seek their own interests rather than the interests of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2, it tells us, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." So here it tells us of the spirit of the shepherd of God. It is not because of compulsion. Because you are asked to go to a place, that's why you go to a place. But it is out of your own willingness in the heart, your true concern for the servants of God. That's why you choose to do this work. And when you do this work, it is not because of dishonest gain. Or it is not because you have benefited something, or you are able to be seen and praised by men. But you do it eagerly because it is the work of God. And when you are among them, you are not there to dominate over them, to give instructions to them. But rather, you are an example to the flock. You are able to set this example to the people because of your genuine concern for them. That's why Paul felt that Timothy is suitable because he is genuinely concerned for them. He do not seek what is theirs, but he seeks to edify the flock of God. We go on to see Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. Here he says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Proven worth is also another consideration of Paul. He must have proven himself worthy to be this faithful servant of God. In Paul's earlier journey, in his first missionary journey, he brought another person from Jerusalem. This person is John Mark. But soon after he started his missionary journey, John Mark left them. He failed to prove himself as a faithful one, worker of God. He failed to complete this journey. When Paul planned for his second missionary journey, he did not want to take John Mark along because he feared that their work will be affected by him. But of course, later, as we read in 2 Timothy, Paul also acknowledged the work of John Mark, because at that time he had already matured, he had become a good worker of God. Paul says that he is useful to the ministry. But now we are talking about this beginning of the second missionary journey. He chose not to take John Mark together with him. So at that time, he go on his second missionary journey together with Silas. It is in Lystra that he met this person, Timothy. Whether to take Timothy along is something that he must be cautious about after his experience in the first missionary journey. But he chose to take Timothy. We see Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. It tells us when Paul came to Lystra, they met with this disciple Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. So this is the background of Timothy. When Paul met him, he realized that this Timothy is a person with a good foundation in the faith. Paul testified of his foundation when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. He talks about this sincere faith in Timothy, that which was brought down from his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and now this sincere faith is in Timothy himself. Now, this is a very important part of a servant of God, one who has a correct foundation in the faith. Or in this case, in Timothy, it was brought down from generation to generation. But this correct foundation can also be developed in the first generation of believers by the grace of God through the learning of the Word of God. Timothy had this sincere faith. It makes him suitable for one to be the servant of God. The second thing that Paul saw in Timothy is that he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. He has a good reputation among the people who are living in his midst. Or he is well spoken of by the people. The people around him acknowledge his love, acknowledge his sincerity, acknowledge his service among them. This is very important. Faith without works is dead. Faith is seen in our works. And in this case, Timothy's faith is manifested in his work. That's why the people is able to acknowledge him. These true believers, they have a faith that is seen in their works among the people. These are the people who are useful for the service of the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, it tells us that in Jerusalem, when there is a need to appoint more workers for the administrative work over there, the apostles give a criteria to the disciples to choose the workers of God. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3 tells us, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Here we want to talk about 7 men of good repute. It is important that these people that were chosen to do the work of God, they must have a good reputation. The people in their midst must be able to recognize them, and so they are able to submit to him. they are a proven character in their midst. When Timothy followed Paul in the ministry work, in his acquaintance with Paul, Timothy proved himself to be a worthy servant. Here he says, he referred to Timothy as like a son. Of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, when he wrote to Timothy, he says to Timothy, my son in the faith. He's talked about his son in the faith because they share the common faith. They have the same belief. They were baptized into the one body of Christ. Being older than Timothy, or he treated Timothy like his son. But here, when Paul talks about Timothy as the son in the divine work, Paul wanted to impress upon the church that Timothy is one who has served with him like a son to or with his father, like a son with his father. It is Paul who took Timothy out of his throne, guided him in the ministry work. When Timothy was with Paul in his second missionary journey, he proved himself as the worthy servant. He continued to serve together with Paul. He did not shrink from the responsibility that was entrusted to him. In his time together with Paul, Timothy saw and experienced the divine work. He saw how Paul was guided by the Spirit of God to Philippi to pioneer the work over there. He also saw the sufferings and persecutions that Paul had to endure in the missionary work. Paul had always reminded Timothy what a servant of God must face. In his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 5. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure sufferings, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilians' pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Timothy learned much from Paul as to how to be a good soldier of Christ, how to be a faithful servant of God. Now that Timothy himself had matured, and when Paul wanted to send someone to his companions in Philippi, he chose this worthy servant of God. He is sure that when Timothy goes to Philippi, he will be able to bring benefit to them. He not only know Timothy by name or by face, but he has the proof of his service. He has experienced his affection, his sincerity, and his dutiful service to the Lord God. This man had the favor of God and men. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verse 18. He tells us, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So here it tells us, we who serve the Lord God, we must be acceptable to God and approved by man. This is what Timothy is. This is a character that we can also imitate in our service to the Lord. Paul's desire is to have a chance to go back to this church in Philippi. But now that he is in prison, he do not have this opportunity. He is also not sure of what lies ahead of himself. But he will submit himself to the will of God. At this moment in time, it suffices that he is able to send this great worker, Timothy, to go to the church. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now sing another hymn. We sing hymn 281. 281.
Try for so still you may.
We will now have our prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to gather here for this service. And we thank him for his guidance in our service. Today also marks the last day of our online sermon. So from next week onwards, we encourage our brothers and sisters to be able to return to the church to assemble together. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we need our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
Our service ends here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.